You're listening to the Media Snackers podcast. Check us out on mediasnackers.com.
Interview with Greg Childs. So, Greg, we're right at the end of Showco now. Everybody's filing off home. How do you think it went? And for you, what are the big takeaways?
I think it's gone quite well this year. We seem to have a lot of very happy delegates. We had 300... it's difficult to call them happy in that some of the things we discussed were quite depressing and quite worrying, quite scary. But in terms of how the conference itself worked, from my perspective as a person who has to put on a show, you know, the show ran very smoothly. I had a fantastic team who really pulled it together brilliantly this year. And also a bunch of producers who come from inside the industry. So they're all volunteers who know something about the subjects that are in their sessions. So you get a real focus in the session from real experts, because none of us can be experts right across kids, you know.
And what will you take away from this session, you know, personally, professionally? What has surprised you, what has excited you, and what has depressed you?
Not much of it surprised me, because sitting where I have to sit, you tend to sort of know mostly what's coming. There were one or two things. I was very surprised that Anne Brogan was prepared to speak out. And speak her mind from a personal perspective on Anne Brogan from Granada Kids, and to talk about the closure of Granada Kids and about the future of the industry from a personal perspective, which was, I think, surprised a lot of people, and they thought it was very brave and very useful, actually, to focus the debate. And of course, that final debate that we had, that final discussion where we looked at a potential disastrous scenario where kids programming could really go in a downward spiral, you know, with ITV possibly getting out of kids, other commercial operators moving kids into digital, the BBC maybe taking the digital option on kids, and therefore all the budgets being reduced. You know, and the conference, despite the fact that its theme was the new gatekeepers, who are the new gatekeepers, there was no evidence that any new gatekeeper had any new money to bring to the table. And that's one of the really worrying things, you know. I can remember a producer in one session actually taking out each of the people talking about the alternative commissioners, by whom, that's what we mean by the new gatekeepers, and saying, you know, I'm not really interested in video on demand services that run my programs a year after they're successful, you know, wait for the program to be successful and then take it. I'm not interested in, you know, a company that's really a toy company, you know, but taking on my program because I don't think you understand creativity and content, you know. I'm not interested in a big international distributor who will take all my intellectual property and give me very little return on it. And frankly, I'm not interested even in the new media gurus who are saying, but you could do it with micro payments. He said, I don't want 32 pence a time, I want money to make my show. And that's been the big question here. Where is that money going to come from in the future? And there have been outcomes. There's been talk of putting together now a public meeting to educate the public into the loss of money that's going to result from the ad funding ban. The advertising ban and the funding that will disappear because of that. And you know, going along with that is the feeling that it's time to educate the public into what they're going to lose if they lose quality kids programming made in the UK. And they stand to lose an awful lot. It stands to severely, over time, severely affect the culture of Britain and the society we live in.
I wanted to throw a quote at you as one of the sessions I attended. It came from the Inspector Gadget sessions, yeah, where they showed all the new media, new mobile phone technology, etc. But one of the guys up there said the new technology is going to do to the broadcast industry what Napster did for the music industry, which has pretty much brought it to its knees to a degree. Would you agree with that, that new technology actually is quite scary for the broadcasters, the program makers, but actually it will be a democratization of content ownership?
I think I'd agree that it's scary. I'd agree that it has a strong potential to decimate the industry in the way that Napster did. I think that the broadcasters, particularly the ones in the States who are at the sort of forefront of this, are aware of that and are taking steps to build relationships with their audiences that are different from the ones that the music industry, you know, acted like dinosaurs over. But I think that on the other hand, you know, it comes back to the thing I was talking about before, about where is the money going to come from? Because great content needs to be paid for. You need to pay for, you know, we had brilliant writers here talking. You need to pay for them. You need to pay for people to make it look good. You need to pay for actors. You need to pay for time with crew. You know, you can't make a kid's drama. You can't make a quality kid's drama in your back bedroom. You can make some amazing little bits of stuff. You can make the beginnings of fantastic careers, maybe. And you can make things that will intrigue and delight kids, yes. But you can't make a blockbuster drama. And people will still want that content. Kids will still want that content. They won't migrate entirely to community-based content, to their own content, just to game playing and interactivity. You know, the movies didn't kill the theatre. Television didn't kill books. What all the experience we've had of media as it grows is that people actually enjoy a proliferation of media and they settle down into a symbiosis. Now we're in that terribly difficult phase where we're not quite sure where, you know, the dust is going to settle. But in the end, I believe people will want high quality content. Parents will want it for their kids, and the kids will actually want to watch it if they know it's there. And the difficulty for all of us is that is the thing that again was brought up, is this concept of media education and just kids understanding, you know, if they are going to go into an on-demand world, understanding how to find stuff that really will intrigue and delight them and give them the stories that they need.
Know that we're at the end of this show, Cole. I know it's really too early to talk about the next one, but do you have any thoughts in your head about how that is going to be played out? What are the big themes going to be? Just taking in from what happened from this session.
Put me on the list for a campaign.
Yeah, what I've got to do is put lots of people on the list for the campaign. That's what it is. My thoughts for the next showco are that I shall probably spend it lying in a darkened room. Certainly the next 364 days until it comes around again. I don't know. No, I think what we have to think about next is whether the Show Commotion Advisory Committee can help to galvanise the industry into doing something about educating the public into what they might lose if they lose quality kids programming made in the UK. And that's a clear message that's come out of this Show Commotion. And I'm hoping, you know, it'll start, I hope, with some press articles, and we're talking about trying to create some sort of public meeting to get press interest to, you know, somebody said, where's the Jamie Oliver who actually start talking about kids' media diet as opposed to their tummy diet? Because they need both. They need food for thought as well as good food for their bodies. And that is what will make rounded kids in the UK, and that's what Show Commotion has at its heart. What I love about Show Commotion is it is, you know, I call it a dysfunctional family gathering, and they are a bunch of very odd people who come together, but the one thing they've got in common is a passion for creating great things for kids to watch and participate in and to learn from, but also just to have fun with. And you know, kids deserve that. It should almost be enshrined as a right. And if Show Commotion each year can do small things to help make that happen, then I just said to someone, you know, I shall go to my grave a happy man.
And just one last question then. I've been the unofficial blogger for Show Commotion. Am I going to be the official blogger next year, or are you going to look into developing this as a new technology?
Well, if the official blogger means paying you, you know, you can forget that for a start. Nobody gets paid. Well, almost nobody gets paid. We must look at, we've run for 3 years now, and we've made all sorts of promises. This year was the most technically adept that we've ever done, and yet it was pretty conventional in terms of the delivery of the conference materials. We are a future focused conference, and we should ourselves try and do some activities which really produce, you know, a surprise in the audience as to the way in which they can relate with us. But I have to say, in the end, what we're about is gathering people together in this place for a good old natter about the things that matter and to learn something from each other. And it doesn't always need really flashy things. It doesn't need a PowerPoint, always, even, you know. it sometimes just needs an amazing person to say something and you just listen. Or like today watching Andre do his workshop with kids, you know, just an amazing person at work, just eavesdropping on an amazing person at work. People came out of there absolutely radiant with the, you know, with inspiration for what they might do in the future. You know, I could have delivered that to them on a mobile phone, but, you know, would it have been as effective? No. Would there have been any point? Not much. Would it have been an incredibly time-consuming and difficult thing to do? Yes. So I'm going to be fairly, you know, I'm a new media apologist. I'm a new media, I'm a passionate new media sort of evangelist. But I've always done it with the word appropriate in mind, you know, what works. And I think we'll take it carefully.
Cheers, Greg.
You're listening to the Media Snackers podcast. Check us out on mediasnackers.com.